You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Repositioning. The Adjutant General has 8,000 individuals that he's in a position to mobilize to the extent we need it.
The current path takes it over southwest Florida, but the entire state is expected to be affected.
Anywhere up from northern Florida all the way through the Keys right now has about a 20 to 30% chance of getting tropical storm force winds.
That was James Franklin from the National Hurricane Center. A verdict has been reached in the New Hampshire prep school rape trial. 19-year-old Owen LaBrie was accused of felony sexual assault of a 15-year-old a few days before he graduated from St. Paul's School, but he was found not guilty on the felony sexual assault charge, but guilty on three misdemeanor sexual assault charges. This is USA Headline News.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I need school supplies for my kids, and I can't spend a lot.
With Staples' 110% price match guarantee for back to school, find an item for less, and we'll match the price and give you 10% of the difference.
So I'll get the lowest price on backpacks?
Yes.
Notebooks?
Mm-hmm.
Calculators?
You bet.
Even?
Yep.
Nice.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples. Make more happen.
Price match plus the 10% difference discount valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Valid through 9/19/15, see store or staples.com for details.
The 2 for $5 deal at Burger King just got hotter. That's right, we just spiced it up with the new extra long jalapeno cheeseburger. Feel the flame with two all-beef patties side by side stacked with fiery jalapenos. They're like little green firecrackers exploding in your mouth. Oh yeah, did we mention you can get two sandwiches at Burger King for just $5? But if that's too much fire for one mouth, you can mix and match with the Big King, Big Fish, or Original Chicken Sandwich. Only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
Officials say the TV news reporter and cameraman shot Wednesday during a live broadcast died from gunshot wounds to the head and chest. The third victim, Vicki Gardner, who is being interviewed when the shots were fired, is in good condition at a local hospital. Meanwhile, the shooter, Vester Flanagan's family, is speaking out. His cousin says she is surprised at the anger issues being reported.
We don't believe any of that stuff that they're saying about him on TV.
What specifically do you not believe?
About his anger and all that, but like I said, if you don't see a person for a long time, you know, people change.
That was Ganelle Smith. Authorities are investigating the shooting death of a Savannah State University student killed last night. It prompted a lockdown at the school. Officials say Christopher Starks died at a hospital from gunshot wounds sustained during an altercation at the student union. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control.
Okay, we're going to start the sports guys in a couple minutes, and so far we have Ken in his Rangers jersey.
He's back,
and hopefully both Bill and John will be here. I'm Pat Smits, of course. But first, before we do this, let me tell you a little bit about the weather, and let's see if Ken was right, because he thinks it's going to be in the 90s all next week. Well, pretty close. Tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, and so watch for the deer, and but by afternoon it'll be mostly sunny, high of about 87 degrees, and then on Sunday partly sunny, 88 degrees is the predicted high. By Monday, again partly sunny, high of about 89 degrees, and by Tuesday mostly sunny, and he's right, it's going to be 91 degrees.
Summer's making a big comeback, Pat.
Yes, it is. And I'm in mourning for more than a few things, including Jordy Nelson. But the point is, I can't believe that this is the last weekend in August. And that next weekend is Labor Day weekend. So anyway, Ken and I will start off with the sports guys. And welcome back, Ken. I know you've had a busy summer.
Thanks, Pat. It has been a busy summer, but I've been keeping up with all the sports news. Again, I give my regards about Jordy Nelson, about Green Bay. But I heard something. I read something and heard something about the Packers that you'd be interested in.
Oh, what's that?
Every year, there's some supercomputer that they simulate the entire NFL season, every game, and they actually did it twice, before the Jordy Nelson injury and after the Jordy Nelson injury, and both times the result was the same.
Really?
Super Bowl 50 has the Packers defeating the Indianapolis Colts.
Wow.
And the Giants are 8-8, by the way. And that's really what I was interested in the most. But the Giants have the Giants going 8-8 and missing the playoffs. And they have the Packers defeating the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game. You know, they're not really out on too long a limb here, picking these teams, and defeating the Colts in Super Bowl 50. So maybe that'll make it feel a little bit better that even despite, you know, with the injury to Jordy Nelson, the supercomputer is still picking them to go all the way this year.
Well, wouldn't that be incredible? Because, of course, the Packers won the first Super Bowl.
Right.
And so wouldn't that be something to win the first and the 50th?
Are they making a big deal out of the 50th? I really don't know. Is this going to be even more hoopla than normal?
Well, one hardly could get more hoopla, you
right.
would think.
Right.
Where is it this year? Do you know?
Good question.
I don't even remember where it's going to be played this year. I know where the first one was.
That was at the Rose Bowl, was it not?
Nope. Miami.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I thought it was at the Rose Bowl.
Okay. Well, unless I'm wrong, and, you know, maybe. No, I think the first one and two were probably played in Miami.
Maybe this one is too. I mean, there's not a lot of options.
I know
it's Miami, California, and New Orleans.
And guess what? 50 years ago, we would have been able to get a ticket to see it. Do you know how much the tickets were?
Gosh, I don't know. You got me there.
$13.
Oh, my gosh.
And they didn't fill the stadium.
Times have changed.
And
it wasn't a big game, right? At that point, the NFL championship game was really the big game.
Well, I think absolutely it was. And, you know, the upstarts, they didn't think that until, you know, Namath, was that, Super Bowl III, where he said, hey, we're going to win.
And they did.
Nobody thought that they would, and they... they beat the Colts, and nobody thought they could possibly beat the Colts. That was the Colts in three.
Yes, it was. The Baltimore was. Colts, as opposed to the
yes.
Indianapolis Colts or the Baltimore Ravens.
No, it was the Baltimore Colts.
Different
at
times.
That point.
Yep, different times.
Well, in fact, it's you know, somebody who's really. The kids today must have some difficulty even trying to figure out, you know, these teams, because you're right. And even I, once in a while, when I talk about Baltimore, I'll probably slip and say, you know, Baltimore Colts, just my age.
I was talking to somebody, I forget, I actually met somebody who's a Cleveland Browns fan, and I was curious, what does that mean? Were they really a Cleveland Browns fan, or are they the, because they were relatively young, you know what I mean? Are they a fan of the new Cleveland Browns, the old Cleveland Browns, you know, because the Browns became the Ravens.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm just glad the Giants haven't moved, they haven't gone anywhere in the last 50 years. All right, we have another contender.
Well,
wow,
oh my
he went
goodness.
To the cleaners and everything.
John Manfreda.
With his Devils
said,
jersey.
If this Ranger fan would kindly excuse himself so that a more prestigious jersey can.
There is no more prestigious jersey than the Rangers jersey.
Oh.
You must have a Mets jersey.
No, but he's got the Devils.
New Jersey Devil. Hockey season's right around the corner.
Too bad we're not, you know, televised today.
We're not on TV. It's number 12.
Whoa. And who is number 12?
I got number 12.
And who's number 12?
Number 12 is me. 12 is my lucky number.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Always has been.
Do you have a lucky number?
Good afternoon, everyone.
No, I don't.
What's that?
I don't have a lucky number.
Okay.
Well, I like number 12.
You want to know why 12 is a lucky number for me? Well, I was born on May 12. My oldest daughter, Elizabeth, was born on October 12.
Wow.
My youngest daughter, Allison, was born on September 12. And my middle daughter, Laura, who is getting married a week from tomorrow, was born on November 22nd, and if you think of it as 11/22, what do you see? Ones and twos.
Right. Wow, that's... I guess that's why that's your lucky number then. Good reason.
That and I win it a lot on roulette and on the roulette wheel.
Well, you probably play it a lot on the roulette wheel.
I've played more than my share, yeah.
I have to be honest with you. I never play 12 when I play roulette.
Most people do. It's not a real popular number.
Nobody in my family.
12 is a very popular number in sports.
Oh, it certainly is. Is it not? It certainly is.
And,
in fact,
Joe Namath was 12,
and
right?
He was 12.
Why are so many quarterbacks number 12?
Well, I think they have certain regulations, like in hockey, where a goalie's number has to be a certain either a 1 or a 30 or a 31, something like that. Well, I think quarterbacks have to be – I'm not sure because you have 8, you have 5. I'm not sure why. Somebody long ago must have had a 12 that everybody grew up kind of – I don't know. What was why it wasn't Y.A. Tittle 12?
Before my time.
Pat, what was Bart Starr's number?
He was 5, wasn't he?
I think he was 5.
We're trying to figure out why 12 is such a popular number.
I think for in the NFL they have...
And there's a Bill Wolfson sighting. How about that?
He's got a jersey too.
You bet I do.
It's Halloween. Halloween. There's orange and black in the house.
Right, and the Devils are 0-6.
Oh, my.
0-6 for what?
0-6.
3 weeks before the season starts. Training camp starts. And
it'll be October, and the Devils will be 0-6.
Well, we shall see.
And they're bad goalies.
Unfortunately, Bill, I think you and me will be holding up the rest of the league again this year.
Here comes the cameraman.
And here comes, boy, if you could only, if people at home, if you could only see this right
now.
You
only can see this now with the... We are live on the air with Chris Balin, photographer, and a Devils fan has actually got his arm around a Ranger fan.
There you go.
And we have
make sure
proof.
You get the full New Jersey. This is a New Jersey Chamber of Commerce.
There you go. You're good. You guys are good.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, but half of New Jersey Flyers. It's all of South Jersey, right?
All of Jersey is Rangers.
Those are the Jerseyans we don't count. Those are the ones who aren't astute enough to figure out who they should be rooting for. But having said that.
And next week we'll have to bring in our football jerseys. Well, so we can certainly get football jerseys.
I only have one football jersey. It's a Giants jersey. I'll tell you how old it is. It's a Bob Tucker jersey.
Whoa.
Who remembers Bob Tucker?
He was
Tucker?
A great player, great tight end.
Yes.
He was a great player.
Over 40 years ago.
Yeah, in the 70s, yeah. And
still fits.
Fran Tarkenton, when he came back to the Giants, Bob Tucker was his number one target. Speaking of the safety-less Giants, since we're shifted from hockey into a football mode, rumor has it that the Giants are so thin at safety that they may bring back Stevie Brown, who left and went to Houston where he was cut yesterday. But they are so devastated at that position for the last 3 years. I mean, they've literally lost 5 and 6 guys at that position in camps.
Yeah,
I mean, they just can't get out of their own way at the safety position.
They have 4 guys out for the season to play safety.
Yeah. It's amazing
what happened? How
one position is so devastating. Yeah, you have to start wondering if it may not have something to do with coaching or routines or conditioning. You have to start thinking about it.
Well, I mean, were they all injured in games or
practices?
Matters of circumstance, but you're right, John. 4 out of the last 6 years, the Giants have led the league in man games lost due to injury.
Oh,
so
no question about
it. How could that, at some point, you have to really start thinking, is there something medically they're not doing correct?
There's some relevance there.
They get crazy injuries. They break this and they twist that, but at some point, if it's happening to them consistently and not to others, you have to start looking at your medical staff. But I'm not going
to
use that
to the game of the week.
I'm not going to use that as an excuse.
The Philadelphia Cowchip Eagles at the Green Bay Packers in the frozen, well, not so frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, which
well,
may actually have
to
a
be,
hurricane.
We're soon to be frozen. We have a hurricane coming up, which I think is probably going to hit Puerto Rico and Florida if it hasn't already. I'm real interested in how the Packers are going to fare without Jordy Nelson. I think Cobb is a great receiver. So, Pat.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that the Eagles are playing the Packers?
This weekend.
Tomorrow night.
Oh, preseason.
Preseason.
Yeah, yes. I'm already into
but
the season.
It's the third
Sorry,
game
guys.
Of the preseason, which is the important game.
Right.
And, you know, the question is, will Sam Bradford come out of his glass shell, and will he actually line up and take a snap?
Well this is a game I would have been... We have eight tickets.
Oh, if you had,
tickets game.
For this game, I might have went out there for
we
this
do.
Game.
These are the tickets we had.
Oh, I didn't realize you had the Eagles
the third
game. Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah.
Wow. No, that's a good game.
I told you guys.
You should have put it up, posted on Philly.com. You would have made a lot of money. There's a lot of people in Philadelphia
that went to
really?
That game.
Want to go to that game.
Oh, here I gave them away.
Well, you're a good Samaritan.
Well, you know, someone will like you for that. Hopefully they're all Packers fans, and they'll have a good time at the game watching them lose by a field goal. And that's my prediction.
Well, you know, the last game that I saw the Packers play the Eagles at Lambeau, the Eagles won.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Two years
I remember
ago?
That game.
That can happen.
It did happen.
Yeah.
And I had a couple little Eagle fans.
Well, no,
me.
She's talking about the Eagles winning. She's not talking about the Giants winning.
Oh. Eagles.
No, the Eagles, the last
Giants
time I went out,
It was 3 years ago.
And I had a couple little Eagle fans with me who didn't let me forget it.
Well, you know, that's the problem when you have grandchildren. They don't always root for your sports team that you like. You know, the really important thing is how Sam Bradford is going to play. You know, Chip Kelly runs that.
Is he finished complaining about how unfair it is that linebackers want to hit him? Is he still whining about that?
Well, you know, it's not so much whining about it.
It's
the question of if you are going to play the run option, you have to expect the quarterback to get hit. The real question is, though, Suggs targeted his knees, which have had two ACL repairs. And Suggs got a penalty on the play, I think, for roughing the quarterback or unnecessary roughness.
Yeah, but the league reversed that and said that was not a proper call.
That I didn't
you
hear.
Can on the read option, if the quarterback, if you're taking going after the quarterback and the quarterback pitches the ball at the last minute, you're going to hit the quarterback. Why would you bring
because
in a guy like Bradford if
your
you're going to play the read
option? If your momentum carries you into the guy,
in
yes,
theory.
But this was not a case where his momentum carried into him. He could have easily have avoided him. I saw the play. I saw the reruns. I'm glad the flag was called.
Who's the Eagles' backup quarterback?
Oh, well, it's hard to say. Right now it's Mark Sanchez, but every time I have a nightmare, it's Tim Tebow or Matt Barkley.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
There's a little bit of a drop-off. The one thing I will say, I always admired Bradford. You know, when he was drafted first overall by the Rams 5 years ago, I really thought, wow, there's a guy with all the weapons. I mean, he had a cannon of an arm, very smooth, great footwork, smart guy. But he just has
didn't
had so
it,
many – well, the Rams haven't had good teams right. the last 5 years. But he's had health problems. He had problems staying on the field. It's a big gamble by the Eagles, and if it pays off, hey, it could pay off big, but it could very easily blow up in their faces. It's a long 16-game season.
Yeah. It is indeed, and you know, when you have the problem of a quarterback that's not that mobile, you better have a very good offensive line. But the real improvement in the Eagles is on the defense.
Oh, no question. The second.
But let me ask you, before we get off that subject, how long will the Eagle fans, how many games will they even give him to prove himself? And that,
well,
I think, is a problem.
I don't think that's the question. Because right now, they've accepted him. He's the key to hopefully lead them to the promised land. I think right now, it's not how many games. They're waiting to see how successful is the season going to be. I mean, if he's still standing in January, and they're probably a playoff team,
And then the question is going to be, I think then it's more relevant, if he wins a playoff game or two, can they accept if he doesn't go all the way? Or is it only going to be satisfaction if they actually win something?
Yeah, but how, you know, anybody who's ever seen a game in Philadelphia, is he really ready for the Philadelphia fans? I mean, that, believe
me. Well, he's had a few months to adjust.
Yeah, but he hasn't played a game with those nasty fans.
Well, I think he's going to have to play four or five games. We're going to see where he's at. He's got a much better receiving core than they had in the past. I think the running backs are better. I think the offensive line is better. So, if anything, he's being set up to succeed. And remember, he was picked up because Chip Kelly thinks he fits his offense much better than anyone else.
Nobody gets that, though, Bill. He's a read option, run-and-shoot offense, and he brings in a guy with two ACL knees. I mean, how do you explain that?
Because he's going to be able to deliver the ball well downfield. He's also going to be able to deliver the ball to guys who can run the ball and actually
run after the catch
and actually hit the second hole on the offensive line, and can also grab a ball and run after the catch. One of the things we were all a little worried about was that Ertz got himself hurt the other night in a practice, but they say he's going to be playing in a Green Bay game. And I think Ertz is one of the unsung heroes on the Eagles. He consistently catches the ball. He's got great hands. Not blinding speed, but when you need 7 yards and for some, and then to step out of bounds, he's your guy. He almost always catches a ball, even a badly thrown ball. So the Eagles seem to be looking a whole lot better than they were last year. Will they go 10-6 again? I don't know. I picked
10-6 might win the division, given
that's
the
true
problems,
right?
Other
that's
people
true
have.
Remember, they fizzled out the end of the season. It was a collapse, and nobody took Kelly to task for that. However,
well, I think they gave him a pass on that. If you had something like that happen again this year, they'll treat him no better than Santa Claus.
I think I think the Eagles will be 11-5.
I think you're being very optimistic. Very optimistic.
I think they've got
Bill,
better
I'll
schedule.
I will say this: if Sam Bradford stays healthy, they could even win 12 games. I think he's that good. In my mind, it's a real question. If they're smart and if they're ahead in the fourth quarter in games, they should take him out and let Sanchez play, because every hit you save off of Bradford is increasing his durability.
I agree with that. I really do agree with that, and I think that Bradford probably isn't the Brett Favre who, you know, you could not possibly have taken him out in
right
his heyday. But I often, in fact, would be really get irritated when they wouldn't take Brett out and let Aaron Rodgers play. And even now, sometimes they should take Aaron Rodgers out earlier. I think they should do that a lot of the times with the quarterbacks if they're really doing well.
It's not like baseball where they but hockey, you're going to be 7-1 in the late third. They just keep the starter in. Football, you know, teams up by 4 touchdowns, and you know the starter still trots out there.
Yeah, they don't do that in the NFL.
They
very
just
much.
I think they're very. It's a cross between being superstitious and creatures of habit. They're just afraid. They take a guy out and they somehow break some rhythm. I don't get it, but that's,
they can put him back in, right? I mean, there's no rule in football,
right?
That,
it's not like baseball.
You know,
I think that's the point, though. You wouldn't take a quarterback out with the idea of, oh, we'll put him in the next series.
Well, no, but if in fact the game really turns and you start getting worried, you could put your starter back in.
Right.
I really think they risk too many injuries with the quarterbacks by leaving them in, and especially, you know, it gets cold in Green Bay. So, you know, by that fourth quarter, I mean, those guys are really cold, and when they're hitting that ground, I don't care, even if it's heated, it's pretty cold. So any event, let's just take a few spots from our sponsors, and we'll be back for more Sports Guys.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heide and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future. how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm a CPA with the accounting firm of Bedard Kowicki & Company, and I joined the Chamber to interact with new Chamber members and expand our mutual needs for business networking and giving back to the Hunterdon business community.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Okay, guys, we're back. The sports guys, the old decrepit sports guys, but they're all looking great today in these jerseys. I mean, wow, I want to go to a hockey game.
Well, so do I, Pat. I can't wait till the Flyers season starts. Preseason camp begins in about 3 weeks. A new coach in Peter Hextall, who was a coach at University of North Dakota. Totally different system, a lot of different players, and we've got a lot of great young guys on the Phantoms up in Allentown, so it looks like it's going to be an interesting season. I'm especially looking forward to seeing a development of Scott Morin, who right now is assigned to the Phantoms up in Allentown, and I'm hoping to get to see him play some Saturday up in Allentown.
Let's go to the Phantoms game. The problem is,
I'll go to a Phantoms game with you.
Yeah, okay. I think it'd be great.
We all could, yeah. But the problem that I have.
There you go.
The problem I have, guys, is it's just the start of football. Why can't hockey wait a little bit so that you'd have at least a few football games?
Well, they kind of do, because the season doesn't start till the second week in October.
Well,
so football is 5 weeks in.
So remember something,
Pat.
No,
it's not. Well,
but Pat,
I guess you're right.
You've forgotten Canadian football has already started, and my favorite team, the Edmonton Eskimos, are 2-4.
Wow.
That's good for them.
You're a depth. Your knowledge is not only wide but deep, knowing the Edmonton Eskimos are 2-4.
It's going to get deeper in here a lot sooner, a lot faster, I'm sure.
Well, the only time I think I ever watched any Canadian football was when Doug Flutie was playing.
Right.
Well.
You know?
But the problem with hockey, to your point, Pat, the season's too long. It just ended 2 months ago.
Yeah,
we were talking
right.
about the Stanley Cup Finals, and here we're 3 weeks away from training camp. It's crazy.
It is.
How often do we talk about baseball on the show? By the way, did I tell you I was in Philadelphia Tuesday night
to witness part of
the Mets sweep of the Philadelphia Phillies?
Well, let me ask you a question. Okay. I know that Philadelphia has a terrible record this year.
Yes.
But I think their players are getting better. I think they're starting to fix some of their problems. What do you think?
I think they have, how can I put this gently? They've taken out the trash.
Yeah. I mean,
and they brought in some new blood. And regardless of talent level, when you have young players that come out and hustle and are trying to prove themselves and trying to earn those multi-million dollar contracts, your team looks better.
You're in the first year of about a 6-year rebuilding program.
That may very well be.
And they still have some. They still do have some talent. Ryan Howard hit a home run, mm-hmm. 420 feet the opposite field on Tuesday night. I was very upset about that, but the Mets eventually won. But yeah, I think the Phillies are just in the early stage of rebuilding. They just got rid of Utley. They got
contracts they can't go anywhere with.
No,
so you're looking at 5 or 6 years.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, they finally were able to move Chase Utley. And Hamels wanted to be moved. Otherwise, he would have stayed. And you're in a situation where, because of the huge contracts that Ruben Amaro gave out 3-4 years
ago. That's what happens when you win.
You win
and you just have like some Patton stars. You give them money. This is a story we've seen before.
Well, you know, it's the same old, same old. Teams rise and fall, but you don't have as many dynasties as you used to, I think, because of the parody, if you want to call it that, in a lot of the sports leagues. But I'm very interested. You know, the New York Jets picked up a Green Bay Packer retread in Flynn. And what kind of a quarterback is he?
Who knows?
I don't think he's thrown a pass in 2 years.
Really,
remember, he was the guy they traded to Seattle.
Wow.
And then they had this kid come out of trade, this rookie come out of training camp and win the job.
Well, remember, Flynn went in. When Rodgers was out, and he had 6 touchdowns in a game.
Yeah.
So, of course, all of a sudden, he was, he was able to get the big money. He was able to get it from
Seattle. Parlayed that into some very nice.
He was the darling there for
for a couple 15, of weeks.
15 minutes.
Well, I mean, he kept them alive is what he did. And then, of course, Russell Wilson, beat him out in Seattle, which... I think Flynn went out there obviously thinking he was going to be the starter.
Yeah, they gave up a number one pick for him.
Right.
Oh, that's
right. I mean, the Packers really came out looking good on that deal.
Yeah, they sure did. But what kind of a guy is he? He had a game with 6 touchdowns throwing.
Yeah. Right. So did Nick Foles. I mean, come on. One game doesn't
that
make
was,
a career,
that was,
man.
No. I understand that. But that was the most... if you go back in years from now in trivia... And, who was the quarterback?
Everybody's
going to
think Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers.
And it was Flynn.
So,
that was a big, was a big deal. And I think that's what, you have to feel sorry for the guy, really. I mean, he was sitting behind a very good quarterback. He didn't think he was going to get a shot. He got a shot. He did a good job. He wasn't Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, but no, he really came in, did a decent job, and then, thought he was going to get his shot, and, here he is a couple of years later still out there. So what do you think is going to happen to him?
I think Flynn, we're going to find out that Flynn is able to play well for the New York Jets. He'll be a good backup. And the problem with the Jets is, as I say every week, they're the team that puts the fun in dysfunctional. You already had one guy break Geno Smith's jaw in the locker room over $600. You have another quarterback for the Jets who is really an open question. I think we may find ourselves with Flynn winning at least 5-6 games for the Jets.
So do you think they'll start him?
I don't know whether they'll start him, but right now he's not the starter. But, he's a talented guy. He can throw the ball, and there's something to be said for this guy. He had, but for the big surprise at Seattle with a rookie coming out of nowhere and Russell Wilson, this guy probably would still be quarterbacking for Seattle.
Yeah, those Super Bowl teams might have been his.
That could be. Remember, Seattle was like a juggernaut those 2 years.
And he probably wouldn't have thrown that interception.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have blown the second game.
Well, that's a coach's fault. Yeah. He called that one. That was really stupid.
But you know, he still stands by that call.
He absolutely does. But then again, that's Pete Carroll.
Well, stupid people stand by
He also says
decisions.
He did nothing wrong at USC.
Yep. Yeah, well, I have to tell you, talking about Geno Smith, you have to feel sorry for the guy. I mean, you know, that could be career
yes
ending.
And no. I mean,
that could be career ending.
I don't think he'll ever throw another pass for the Jets. There'll be a good excuse to cut him at the end of the year. But, you know, what the dispute was over was he had agreed to show up at some promotional thing for kids.
Oh, I know. And then
he didn't show.
And I think that I can understand why the guy who hit him was really angry. And I think he was a jerk for not showing up. But you have to feel sorry for someone who could have a career.
I don't think anybody feels sorry for Geno.
Really? Well, I'd feel sorry for anybody who has a career-ending
injury.
It sounded like he brought that on himself.
He did. No, I don't think
he did not have the locker room.
No.
He wasn't a leader on that team.
That's
I
not
understand.
The first incident he had.
Correct.
You know what I mean? That sounds like...
Correct.
Whoever hit him, and I don't remember the guy's name.
I bet about the other guy snickered.
Was speaking for the group when he got hit.
That's right.
Well,
that's
exactly. But John is absolutely right. Apparently, not only, and I can't ever pronounce his name, not only did he expect him, he had a camp for all these kids in his hometown.
Yeah.
And he was able to get this going because... you know, Geno Smith was coming, and
you're like, how many people are holding Geno Smith in high demand? And here this guy goes and sets this up, brings kids in. You know, it's not like Geno Smith is
if you're in some southern small town,
Tom Brady.
I mean, I grew up in a small town. I can imagine that if anybody had been brought in. On any team,
it
would have just been
NFL player.
Oh, kids are thrilled with that kind of thing.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Kids don't understand all the.
Well, the interesting thing is
they'll
how
probably
quickly,
show up for sports guys.
probably would.
Oh, how quickly the puncher has been picked up by the.
And look who picked him up
by Buffalo.
You know, the first game when they played Buffalo, he's going to be right out there on the field.
He's going to be.
That's going to be Rex.
He'll be defensive captain that day. Probably.
Probably would. Yeah.
You're
calling
right.
The coin flip.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That's Rex. He loves to rub it in.
You know, I don't blame him. Rex. I respect that.
And you know something? That's Rex's style.
Yeah.
And you know, the one thing I will say, as much as I like Todd Bowles, Rex Ryan was fun to read about and watch. He's a colorful guy. In some ways, I'm sorry he's gone, but I don't think he ever really had a fair shot. He did not have the horses.
About that. He had two teams go to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, but they didn't
years.
Go all the way.
He beat New England in a playoff game. That was
huge.
Well,
that was, huge.
That
I mean,
was
the
Jets
Super Bowl.
Thing. That was in Foxborough, and that was an amazing thing. I mean, they had good players. He had Revis. They had good players. I think the real problem there was Sanchez.
I think the problem was the quarterback problem.
He didn't have a winning quarterback.
And that was his problem.
And that is the answer to Ken's question of, who's your backup quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah. And the problem is that without a good quarterback, and with a good receiving core, you're not going anywhere, especially when you're in the same division as the Pates and you got to play the Dolphins twice. They've got to play the Pates twice. You've got some tough teams in the AFC East.
You know, I heard an interesting piece of dialogue on the radio today. A guy called in, and he calls in a Philadelphia sports show, and he says, I've got some Super Bowl trivia for you. He said, did you know that every AFC team that's won a Super Bowl has won a second Super Bowl?
Except
and
one.
And did you know that?
Step one.
The Jets have not won two.
You know, you're right about that.
Yeah.
The
he
Jets
was wrong.
He's
he was wrong.
Wrong.
He was
the
wrong. And the people
win.
On the radio said, yeah, you're right. Nobody even thought it. It's been so long.
The Jets have only won one.
Winning, but you're exactly right. But then the other piece of it was in the NFC, teams who have won three or more Super Bowls have beaten the Denver Broncos in at least one. So the host of the show says, this is a Philadelphia Eagles program. What does Super Bowl talk have to do with
you got to be relevant, right?
Exactly.
Except that's not true. Packers didn't beat Denver.
Have they won three? Well, they won the first two and then the third. Yeah, they won three.
Did they beat Denver?
No, they lost. That was the Super Bowl they
lost.
That
was the one they lost.
In San Diego, they lost. Yeah. Remember John Elway? Everybody wanted Elway.
Right.
And I thought Reggie White was going to cry
with
me.
Yeah.
No, because it looked like the Packers were going to win that.
Yeah. God's will. But, you know, I guess what he meant was they played Denver, not necessarily beat Denver.
Okay.
So he was wrong on the Jets piece on the AFC, and he was wrong. But then again, that's, you know, I listened to Philadelphia Sports Talk Show for levity. I mean, it's like, you know, come on, take anybody seriously. And that's one of the better callers they get.
Well, talking about quarterbacks, so what do you think, what's going to happen? You know, we had a couple quarterbacks drafted. You know, anybody hearing anything about James Winston or Marcus
or Mariota? They've been very quiet. They're bringing them along. They're doing the right thing. They're bringing them along.
Are they
going
to start?
Well, Mariota was appointed the starter. Yeah, both of them have been anointed starters, You're paying that kind of money. They're going to start.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see how they work out, because we've had some, you know, rookie quarterbacks. I mean, Russell Wilson, one example. Kaepernick.
The thing with Wilson, though, nobody expected anything of him. He did steal the job from Flynn, but come on, did anybody know who Russell Wilson was?
Nope.
He had no pressure on him.
I knew him because he came out of Wisconsin.
Well, understood, but you knew him. You watched him play. He went to your college. He played there, so of course you're going to watch him. But everybody else.
But the rest of the same world?
But everybody else, who knew who he was? And, you know, he was a very pleasant surprise for Seattle.
It's amazing, though, to me, how money, and you hit on it, has changed the game. Because we gave these quarterbacks these astronomical sums of money, they're the starters. It used to be you break in a quarterback, he would be on the bench for a year, almost guaranteed the bench for a year. Maybe the second year get his feet wet. Maybe by the third or fourth year he'd become a full-fledged starter. Now, what we're paying you X amount of millions of dollars, get in the game.
And I think that's a mistake because, you know, look what they have to learn from going from college to the NFL. I think that, people like, I think Aaron Rodgers had a real benefit sitting on the bench, even though Brett Favre was probably not real helpful. But I think he learned it. He learned the team. Everybody respected him. And so when he finally got his shot, he really did well. And even Brett Favre, when he came in, I'm trying to remember if he got in as a starter the first year.
He was in Atlanta.
Well, no, he was in Atlanta. Then he came to the Packers, but Mikowski was the quarterback.
Yeah, the Magic.
And I don't remember when he got hurt, if it was that first year or whether it was Brett's second year. I think it was his first year, but I could be wrong. So
first year with the Packers.
First year with the Packers.
I believe it was.
I didn't expect he'd play with the Packers, John, when he was with Atlanta.
Well, no, I meant first year with the Packers.
He'd have to be really good to do that.
I don't think he understood the point.
He'd have to be in two places at once.
Well, his first year he sat on the bench in Atlanta.
I know that.
The Packers picked him up. The question was, did he play his first year? Yeah, his first year with the Packers.
Well, I don't know if he played that first year. I don't remember if Mikowski was hurt that first year or whether it was the second year.
Folks, call in if you know if he played his rookie year before he was with the Packers.
Probably the only person who would know would be my husband. He'd know, and he'll tell me.
But even then, you go back 20 years, it was, I think, a lot simpler to play quarterback in the NFL. The offenses now are so diverse and so intricate. 30 years ago, handoff left, handoff right, drop back, you'd have two receivers going out. How hard could that be?
Three yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it's so diverse. It's you have to be a nuclear physicist to figure out these offenses now. It's amazing to me that a rookie can come on and do anything
and
in the NFL right away.
Yeah.
And to learn that book of plays. You're right. That was my
and
point.
It's not just the quarterbacks. It's also the offensive line and the defensive line and defensive backs, because there's so many schemes they have to react to.
Crazy. Unfortunately, in the case of the Giants, their line is offensive. Yeah. But it is getting better. It is getting better. I think you'll see big improvement this year.
Once in a while, have you ever seen it where someone really misses it and you can see that he ran the wrong play? And it's
you mean offensive lineman that misses a block?
Well, no. I'm just saying anyone out on the field. It could be a defensive, it could be anyone, but they, they just didn't get the play. They
yeah, every now
it.
And then.
And you'll see someone who, you know, the quarterback
well, if it's
is
a
looking,
receiver, you usually well, see the quarterback staring
yeah,
at him.
Yeah. And looking desperately around to find someone else. That's, by the way, I think why Aaron Rodgers is as terrific as he is. I mean, he's got the view of that field. I think Wilson the same way. I mean, if somebody's not open, they can find someone else. And that was a problem with Brett. He would try to throw into too much coverage all the time.
Because, of course, he could put it in there.
Well, he could put it in there, but, you know, they couldn't always catch it.
Well, that's always a problem, too, because, you know, a quarterback thinks he can challenge a defense with his arm, and by throwing into double coverage, some quarterbacks can do that because they've got the possession-type receivers who can find a way to catch that ball, whether it's a jump ball or it's in between two defenders. But when you start trying to force those plays, a defensive coach has to smile because he's now achieved his goal. He's gotten the quarterback to make a high-risk pass.
Well, that's what Brett Favre was always doing
yes.
half of the time. I mean, that's why he had so many
well,
interceptions.
Had so many spectacular
yeah.
plays and so many
and
interceptions.
So many spectacular interceptions.
Because of the, precisely that. Yeah.
Right. So, but you need a quarterback of his caliber to be able to do that. He has had a tremendous gun for an arm. And to be able to throw that bullet through all of these defenders and have
but
somebody
you know,
catch it
is
great.
It's funny you say that, Bill, and that's clearly an asset, strong arm. But if you look at some of the greatest quarterbacks, you know, Brady's got a good arm. Nobody's ever accused him of having a cannon. Joe Montana certainly didn't have a cannon. You know, Peyton Manning, not a cannon. I mean, good. You know, Eli and Peyton can throw the ball, not cannons. You know, look at all, they've won a lot more Super Bowls than cannon-armed quarterbacks. Hmm. I think it's you've got to be able to throw it in there, you know, with zip on it, but the accuracy is probably more important.
And I think quickness. I mean, one of
quickness
the things...
Release
accuracy.
The ball quick,
you know, get
and throw
that
a ball they can catch.
Yeah,
you know,
and
get when Elway came up, his ball was so hard, the receivers dropped, he had so many drops, and he was complaining to... it was a Dan Reeves, I think, was his coach. Yeah. And he said, "Coach, they just dropped my balls." And he said, "Well, throw them a little easier, son."
Yeah.
Because, I mean, his balls were, you know, were coming at receivers twice as fast as they had ever seen before.
I'm trying to think.
He may have had the strongest arm of any legitimate, you know, winning quarterback of all time. I would say Elway could throw the ball and routinely threw the ball harder. And Favre would be right up there too, but Elway won more, went to more Super Bowls. But
I'm trying to think of
only
but, you know,
won one.
Oh, well, John Elway
no,
went
no,
back
no,
to
he
back.
Won, no, he did.
He won two.
He won two, but he went to what four?
He went to six.
He went to a bunch.
Six.
All right, so
yeah.
I should have said he didn't.
He
went lost
to six.
More.
Four.
Wow. He lost more than
yeah.
any
well,
other.
Well, Tom Brady's
right?
4-2, and Elway was 2-4.
Sure.
What about the Buffalo
and,
quarterback?
And it was only his
four.
Last
0-4.
And it, but he lost all four of them before he won the first one.
Correct. He was 0-4
yeah.
before they.
Yeah, because that was a Packer game that
yeah.
he should have lost to.
They,
but
yeah, Packers should have won that game.
They should have won that
yeah.
game.
Oh, no doubt. But remember something: for a quarterback with a really good gun who can actually split the receivers and throw it in there. You're really looking for a with the defense rather. You're really looking for a possession type receiver with what I always call soft hands. The guy who I always thought was the best at that was a Jet draftee, Al Toon. Al Toon had tremendous
quintessential
hands.
Wide receiver.
Blinding
hey guys, we're
going
to take a couple a little short break to some of our sponsors, and then we'll be back. So stay tuned, and we'll hear the rest of the sports guys in just about a minute.
By the way, did you?
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, we're back. It's the sports guys. If I can calm them all down so we can get them back on the radio. And now we remember, guys, this is a family program.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. We're all wearing our hockey jerseys today, even though it's 85 degrees out and football is almost about to start. We have our third preseason game. I always wondered, why three preseason games?
They have four, right?
Four. Is that because they're not making
this
enough
year,
money?
They usually had three, though, didn't they, John?
You're right.
Yeah, I don't know why they kicked it up to it. They added a fourth.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to add a game, why not add a regular season game?
I think they're going to cut back. This might be the last year of this many preseason games because they're talking about cutting it back to two because so many injuries.
The injuries have been ridiculous.
But if they go to 18 regular season games,
that's too many.
You're going to see they'll just get injured in a regular season game instead of a preseason game.
Well, and then what's going to happen in the playoffs? I mean, if you went to 18 regular season games plus the playoffs plus the Super Bowl, I mean, the fans will be there. But I don't know how the players can withstand that.
I think that's the NFL's plan, though. They want to own the whole month of February.
Well, but you know, my view is that they should just have a larger roster, and if they did, then maybe
they
that
really
would work.
Need to expand the roster.
They really have to. They should have done it.
Four or 5 years ago. 53 guys.
52 or 53.
I think it's 53, but I think it should go to 60 because you're going to have the ability to then really replace injured people with other good injured people. And quite honestly, for those of us who root for teams that are less than elite, like the Jets.
Like the Eagles.
Or the Eagles. Although the Eagles could surprise us all this year. And to me, elite is anything above 10-6. You have the problem of how do you keep the casual fans' interest?
Oh, there are no casual fans. But I think most fans are real fans. But the other thing about expanding the roster, I think that there are a lot of guys who need a little more time to mature. And, you know, with the roster as it is, they get rid of guys who I think, you know, give them a year, give them a 2 years, and I know some of them are on the practice squad, but they'll really be able to come into their own. And so I think that for a lot of reasons, for the injuries, for the fact that there are so many good players out there, it's not like they're going to have all mediocre
right.
players because they have, you know, 60, 65. I think that, you know, the game can afford it. They don't pay these guys that much.
Pat, how many are on the taxi squad now? There's a limit, right? Is it 7?
On the practice squad?
Yeah. I still call it the taxi squad. I'm old school.
I think it may be more than that, but I'm not honestly.
Why don't they just put them all on the active roster?
Well, the only reason that's because they only have 53 slots.
Put them all on the active roster, and then they wouldn't all necessarily have to suit up for the game, but at least they could practice, and then a day of game you could just cut the roster back to whatever number you have.
You know, just expand the roster. I mean, why has anyone heard any real legitimate reason why they shouldn't expand?
Well, the owners don't want to have to pay more money, but in an $11 billion industry,
yeah.
what's the difference?
It's a Yeah,
because those guys at the end of the roster are making whatever the league minimum is.
Yeah, what is the league minimum now? Do you know?
I think it's about $375,000.
Okay, because I know for a while it was $250,000, and so.
Yeah, that would help. That way you don't have valuable players running on kickoffs and everything else.
Yeah,
you could put some
teams,
other players
yeah.
in there that they could prove themselves on special teams and work their way up to the regular rather than having, you know, so often you have starting players injuring themselves on kickoff
right.
returns, which really don't, 99 times out of 100, really don't add up to a whole lot.
Well, as I said, you know me. I've been, as long as this program is on the air, I've been saying they should expand the roster, and I still believe that. And then, perhaps, if they added a game, there wouldn't be as much concern, although I still think that, you know, these guys take a beating, and by the end of the season, you want to have great playoff games.
Well, one of the things that adding to the season, adding games to the season, Pat, is limiting the number of games a player could play. Like have an 18-game season, but only be able to play any given player 16 games.
Yeah, but nobody would agree that the starting quarterback.
Fans want to see their stars.
Yeah, and nobody would agree.
The owners would agree to that because they'd get two more games and they'd have the same attendance at the games.
The fans wouldn't. I mean, for those of us who go to one or two games, you know, we would be devastated if we didn't. You know, if I go out to the Packers games, I want to see Aaron Rodgers. Of course, I want to see Jordy Nelson, too.
Right.
That's not going to happen this season.
No, it's not. But no, I don't. I can't imagine that anybody would go along with limiting the number of games a player could play.
I agree with you, but it's been brought up. It's one of the things that's been bandied about in an effort to expand the season to 18. Hey, I remember when it was 14. Some people might even remember when it was 12.
Well, I remember when you didn't have to go sit in Lambeau at the end of January.
Right.
Or in January for a regular game.
Right.
Well, the season ended in December.
Right.
She had 14 games. But I think one of the best things they ever did was move from 14 to 16 and drop the preseason from 6 to 4 games. Actually,
that
3
was
games.
Crazy. Yeah. Six preseason
games was
insane. That was insane because you never really saw any competition there.
No.
And it wasn't
fun to
go.
The first four games were nothing.
Well, what it was to show the rookies who was going to be staying, the rookies and the second year people.
And it was to make money for the owners, too, because they charged, you know, prices for it.
Well, and Packers, you know, their stadium is filled every game.
Yeah.
So, but it also looks bad, I think, when a stadium is not filled.
That now you're talking, what's her name? Susan Wallman, who everybody loves to make fun of. I happen to like her. She's from Boston.
I think she's intelligent. She does a good job.
She said during a broadcast, I happen to be tuning it in, surfing a little bit, and the ego of John Sterling alone is enough to want it. You make change
station. That's why they made Yankee Stadium bigger.
But the Yankees were losing the game. So I naturally wanted to listen and listen to the end of the game in which he said, Toronto wins. Anyway, one of the things, where were they? I can't remember. Maybe it was in the Baltimore series. They were somewhere, and the stadium wasn't sold out. I mean, it wasn't half full, but she made a comment. She said, you know, that's got to be the saddest sight known to man. And Sterling says, what's that, Susan? A half-filled baseball stadium. Now, yeah, give me a freaking break, okay? But, you know, consider the source.
She must be leading a very good life.
We have to shut it down, so what's your last...